Our gospel lesson this morning is found in the gospel according to John, the third chapter, beginning at verse 14. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The Gospel of the Lord. In the 21st chapter of the book of Numbers in the Bible, we find an interesting story. And there we hear the story of the Israelites wandering through the wilderness yet again, and as before, they're complaining. God hears the complaints, but this time God does something quite surprising. And God responds to their complaints by giving them something to complain about. God sends snakes, lots of snakes, poisonous snakes. And snakes are everywhere, in everything. And now they are biting the very people who were complaining. And some are even dying. The people go to Moses again because they were complaining to him the first time. They go to Moses again and now they're saying, sorry, sorry. Please pray to God that God will remove the snakes from us. And so Moses does pray, and God then does something surprising again. Instead of removing the snakes, God tells Moses to make a snake, and Moses makes a snake out of bronze, and God says, put the snake on top of a pole. And so when the people are bit, they can, if they choose to, look upon the pole and live. Wow. What kind of story is that? I mean, talk about having to live with the consequences of one's actions. And not even their own consequences. There are times when things that we do that's wrong doesn't just affect us, but it ripples out and has repercussions all over. I can imagine that in the people, among the people of Israel, there's maybe a few that are complaining that are just never happy about anything. And there are others who are quiet and they're just trying to make the best of it. But because of one group's sin, everyone suffers. Now, we will say, oh, that's not fair, but that happens all the time, doesn't it? I give you an example. I'm driving down the street in my car, and I'm texting. Now, we know that no one here will do that in real life, right? Because we know that that's wrong. There is no texting and driving allowed, but I don't quite know that, or maybe I'm just not listening. I'm tempted by the beep on my phone. So I just happen to pick up my phone and I look for just a moment, and that's all it takes, really. And then bam, I've hit the car in front of me. Now I can say that that's only affecting me, and my car, and now I'm inconvenienced because I have to now take my car to go and get it fixed and go through all the problems of having the damage and the insurance and everything else. But it's not just me. The car in front of me, I've just hit their car. And so now this person is inconvenienced by my fault. And they have to go and get their car assessed and fixed. And maybe it's the family car, so now they're not the only one inconvenienced. Their entire family now is inconvenienced. And maybe they were even on their way to work or on their way to pick up their child from school. And so now a whole host of other people are suffering from my fault, of what I've done that was wrong. All of that from one wrong, at one moment in time. The consequences of our actions can have repercussions that ripples out far beyond ourselves. To some of us, we might wonder, well, why doesn't God do something about that? God is God, right? God could just make it so that no one would ever sin and everyone would be perfect and there would never be anything wrong in the world. Yes, we've heard about the Adam and Eve and the apple and all this other stuff, but it didn't have to be like that. Why doesn't God make it so that we don't sin anymore? And there is never any consequence or any repercussions or anything. However, God does something surprising. Instead of removing sin and all of the consequences that goes with that, God gives us Jesus. And as we live with the consequences in the midst of it all, Jesus is raised on a cross. So that we, if we choose, can look upon it and live. Jesus said in the Gospel of John that just as Moses lifted up the serpent, so too must the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross, that whoever believes in him, all who looks upon Christ with the eyes of faith, will live. Now, brothers and sisters, we are already perishing. The consequences of our sins are all around us. We don't have to go far to see how it's not just our own sins that are affecting us, but the sins of everyone around us. And they all lead to death. Maybe not physical death. Sometimes we may think that just the little stuff doesn't really matter, but it does. Little lies, they kill trust. Not keeping our word kills relationships. Rejecting others and not showing compassion kills hope. The consequences of our sin lead to death in all kinds of ways. Yet out of love for us and the world, Christ takes on our sin and is nailed to the cross. He then becomes the ultimate consequence of our wrongs. Thus, when he is lifted high for us to see, it is not to shame us, but it's so that we might look up and live. In the crucifixion of Christ, we see the consequences of our sin and are given the choice to turn back to God if we choose to live. To live this new life now as a child of God is to live the command to love. You see, living eternally, we talked about this in one of our Lenten studies, it doesn't mean that only after we die we then live, but we can begin to live our eternity now. To love God with everything that's in us to yearn to know God more and to seek to grow in our relationship with Him. And it's to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. To practice hospitality and compassion, to seek to the welfare of everyone, including those we know and those we don't. To strive at seeing the image of God in every person we meet, those we love and those we hate. For to live as followers of Jesus is to live lives motivated by love and not fear. To live lives grounded in love and not hate. This whole world, after all, and all of humanity in it belongs to God, and God is love. That is why Jesus said that the Father sent Him not to condemn the world, but to save us, for it is love for sinners that moved God to give us Jesus. Therefore, as my dear friend, Reverend Dr. Daniel Meader says, God will be recognized not as the God who is known by loving the good and successful, but the God who is known by loving the weak and the fallen. Not as the God who loves the righteous, but as the God who loves the sinner. My brothers and sisters, this is why we can find the courage to look up, to see with the eyes of our heart Christ crucified, and to believe that there is life in Him. For He who was wounded heals the wounded and becomes for all of us the source of forgiveness, of healing, and of hope. And so, my brothers and sisters, look up. Look up. Look up and live. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank You for Christ crucified, dying our death that we in Him might live. We pray, O God, that more and more You move our hearts to be people willing to confess of our sins, and willing to more and more be people living the commands of love to which You call us. We thank You for Your grace and Your mercy that knows no bounds. And we pray this in the matchless name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.